I don't know about our guest, Erica, but one of the ways that I like to mother myself, I found, is by staying home and dabbing on a face mask and watching YouTube. But not all masks are created equal. That's why the spa-powered masks and treatments from Bliss are such a dream for my overworked, tired-ass skin. My favorite mask from Bliss is called Mighty Marshmallow, and it's kind of as yum as it sounds. Essentially, it's a radiance-inducing, airy, whipped mask that uses marshmallow root extract to make your skin glow, like it's lit from within. It also includes vitamin C to help with uneven skin tone, and it smells like a spa, super fresh and floral. Mighty Marshmallow is also vegan, PETA certified, cruelty-free, and like all Bliss products, it's blissfully free of parabens and other bad stuff, and it's only $13. So don't wait. Check out Mighty Marshmallow whipped masks and the amazing new line of Bliss skin and body care at Target and Target.com, because let's face it, Bliss looks good on everyone.
Self-service is your cosmic comfort zone. An inner beauty school where self-care is celebrated. Where getting real with emotions is a treat. And an interest in thoughtful, funny conversations, weird wellness, and astrology is unabashed. It's where being a little self-indulgent isn't just a shame-free act of love. It's a necessary launchpad into a life that's wholly ours. In a world where we feel good about taking up space. Here, we serve our hearts. We learn. We talk shit. We grow. And we tune the F up.
Self-service. Hi guys, how's it going? Welcome back. I'm Jericho Mandiba, the editorial director of Girlboss / Tarot Person and perpetual student of self-care. And this is your weekly call to breathe and get back in touch with number one. That's you, your number one. I'm really excited to talk to our guest today about periods and, more importantly, reproductive empowerment. What is that? Well, it's being educated and empowered to make informed decisions about sexual and reproductive health and to act on those decisions, even if it's just in your life or self-care practice. So we're going to be speaking to someone who knows all about that, and that is Erica Chitty-Cohen. She's a doula, educator, and an author, and she's going to teach us people who bleed how to deal with periods better. After that, we're going to hear from our pal, Jessica Lignato, resident astrologer, who's going to give us a lesson on the aspects in astrology, that is the distance or the angle, I guess, between the planets, and how that's a crucial piece of the birth chart and forecast puzzle. First up, though, let's take it down a notch for tarot time. Please do me the honor of relaxing your mind and body a little more. Taking a deep, nourishing breath in through the nose and an extended breath out through the mouth, letting all of the tension out as you exhale. You can do that again and again, and with every out breath, just try loosening your shoulders, your jaw, and your hips just that bit more so you're all softened up and chill. So time for your tarot card of the week, a mini forecast, if you will, of the energies that are around right now or in the coming week and what that might look like for you and how to work with them. And your card for this week is the Magician. Cool. So not including the Fool, which is card zero. This is the first card in tarot, number one. It's super powerful. It's a card of manifestation, of channeling the spiritual down to earth, of magic, basically. It's the Magician. This is an amazing sign of recognizing your power and standing in your power and being the master of your destiny. It says that you're fully capable of being a conduit for the kind of energy and inspiration that seems beyond you and that can help you materialize your dreams. So the power of the mind is an incredible force, capable of literally anything, I think, personally. So the magician appears and we're invited to use that limitless force or energy for constructive and positive purposes. So it's about tapping into our powers of manifestation and treating them with serious dedication, but it's also equally about getting out of our own way. So when we can get out of our own way, we can bridge our will with our integrity, and that's when magic really happens. So maybe this week, ask yourself, like, am I acting in alignment with my highest good and the highest good of all involved when it comes to going after what I want? And if you're behaving in any way contrary to that, just stop and gently ask yourself what you need right now in order to reconnect to your most authentic and spiritual self, minus any drama. That's all. Erica Chitty Cohen is the co-founder and CEO of Loom, an LA-based center for reproductive empowerment and education. She's also a doula, a health educator, and the author of Nurture, a modern guide to pregnancy, birth, early motherhood, and trusting yourself and your body. And we're going to talk to her about bleeding for anyone who does. Hi, Erica.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Thank you for being here. I want to start with the basics. What is reproductive empowerment, and what do periods have to do with that word?
So, you know, reproductive empowerment to me means feeling confident in your body, and not just in terms of walking through life feeling good about how you look or how you feel internally, but actually feeling good and confident about how your body works. And I think, you know, just expanding on that, the kind of larger idea is having a pretty good handle on body literacy, which means being literate in your actual body and how it functions. And I think when people have that information, they feel empowered. And so it's a very specific kind of empowerment that I think once gained kind of permeates your whole life.
Amazing. And in your experience, when it comes to people with periods and empowerment, how empowered are we, just to generalize, when it comes to the information that's out there and available to us about, just living with cycles?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that we live in a patriarchy, although components of it are being dismantled slowly or being challenged on a regular basis now. That construct has really limited people who cycle from having really good, actionable information about how their bodies work. So I would say that more often than not, most people are underinformed about their period, about their cycles in generally, typically until something is wrong or they're thinking about getting pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can imagine the amount of misconceptions that you've come across about, you know, everybody's individual cycles and the way that maybe they presume that they're handling it, but it's actually being mishandled. Where does that come from? Like, do you think that there's, like, not just misinformation, but a kind of a fear around what it means to get your period?
Well, I don't know if there's necessarily an innate fear around having your period. More so, I think most people have a very negative or shameful or traumatic memory connected to getting their first period. And I think that's what I learned through our class at Loom called Roadmap Periods, where one of the first questions that kicks off the class is just asking the people there what they remember about getting their first period. And I think generally the consensus tends to be it was really embarrassing. I was totally freaked out by it. I didn't have a lot of information around it. No one really acknowledged it. So I think when you have, you know, a kind of a primary event, primary physiological event like that, and it's anchored in so much discomfort, there definitely ends up being kind of a narrative created, then that kind of continues on through your life. So, you know, for me, I think there is a really great opportunity now as people become more and more interested in cycling and more interested in periods to kind of, you know, kind of recalibrate and kind of reinvent their own period story and how they relate to that time of the month, kind of figuring out ways to either circumvent the fear through information or just taking a more proactive stance and through that being able to, again, kind of mitigate the fear.
I love that. Why do we need to mitigate that fear and kind of cultivate a better relationship with our cycles? Like, what are the benefits, you know, physically, mentally, and things like that?
Well, if you're not on a form of hormonal birth control and you are, you know, naturally cycling, there's a lot of variability to your hormonal state through the month. And that variability, without the understanding of what's happening, can really create a lot of unnecessary havoc emotionally. And, you know, mm-hmm. just to quickly, you know, unpack that, there are times of the month, for example, there's four phases of your menstrual cycle. There's when you are bleeding, so menstruation. Then there's the follicular phase, which happens immediately after your menstruation stops. And then there is ovulation. And then there is the luteal phase or luteal phase, depending on what continent you're on. And then menstruation mm-hmm. again. And during your follicular phase, there's much more energy in your system because your lining is replenishing. There's more, I might have already said this, but more estrogen in your system, and estrogen excites the system. You have a lot more yeah. energy at that time of the month. And that kind of continues on through ovulation again, when that hormone estrogen is still kind of driving and that energy is still heightened. And then as you move into the luteal phase and your body has more progesterone in it, which is created by a temporary endocrine gland called the corpus luteum, and it just functions during that time of your mm. cycle. Progesterone makes you very drowsy. It can make your digestion sluggish. It can make you less motivated. And so, you know, kind of understanding that there are more optimal and less optimal times of the month can really help you structure your schedule to kind of move into that ebb and flow or that variability, as opposed to feeling like your system needs to be optimal, you know, 30 days out of the month, when yeah. in fact there are more optimal times and less optimal times. And when you know that you're going into this less optimal phase, that understanding can kind of help you. I almost like to describe it as kind of cognitive behavioral therapy for your period. If you know you're moving into your luteal phase, you're going to be more gentle. You're going to maybe be a little bit more introspective about, why is this situation so much more activating to me right now than it would be 2 weeks ago? And that already just sets you up to have very different interactions with people. It just creates this kind of really strong container of intention, which can just improve your work environment, your relational environment, and otherwise.
That's so cool. And it really makes me feel like I've been guilty of like expecting the same kind of thing from myself, like that optimal level of, you know, performance or behavior or feeling, like, all through the month. And it's kind of a denial of like what's happening. And it's so interesting that, yeah. you know, just with a little bit more thought and care, it can really change how I feel about like what's going on around me and inside. So that's amazing. So speaking of me, I feel like I'm like a case study in like what it's like to have no kind of reproductive empowerment when it comes to like period education. So
yeah.
I'd love to use myself as an example and get your advice. So here are some things about me that I think that you should know of. I get my period at different times of the month. Whether that's 100% accurate or not, because I haven't been bothered to actually like identify that pattern. So you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. And then I also do have a form of like hormonal birth control, the arm implant, which mm-hmm. I think is called Implanon, but mm-hmm, I can't remember.
Correct.
I don't want it anymore. So like I'm down to get rid of it. And I don't really like consume or do anything to alleviate period symptoms in terms of, you know, vitamins, like things like that. The only thing I really do is just try and kind of be mindful of like what's going on for me, like emotionally, and drink tea when I have cramps. That's literally it. So for somebody like me who has kind of just been on this like default position when it comes to like how I relate to my period for like my whole life, basically, where should I start with my specific scenario, but also just with like getting more acquainted with like cycles in general? Like there's apps and journals and those kinds of things. Like what is like a dunce like me have to do?
Well, I mean, the first thing I want to probably say is that, you know, not a dunce at all. I think, again, you know,
that was strong. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, I think it's such a common sentiment that's expressed when, you know, especially for clients or people that come to our classes that have, you know, achieved and or excelled in other environments, and they come to this topic and there's like, I don't know anything. And there's this inherent feeling of like, I'm stupid, I don't get this. But again, it's just really important to kind of, you know, take a deep breath, lean into the construct that rules our lives, and realize that the way the system is set up, it's been set up to keep you in the dark. So it's not because you didn't have access. It's not because you didn't want to. It's just the access wasn't there. So that's kind of number one. And then number two, I would say, would be to begin actually looking and paying closer attention to your cycle itself. Now, even though you have an implanon, you know, you may or may not be having some breakthrough bleeding. And although that's not a real period, it's helpful to just kind of keep mm-hmm. track of what's happening. And, you know, another thing that you can keep track of as well is your cervical fluid or your cervical mucus, mm-hmm. Which has some variability through the month, even when you are on an implanon. Or in any birth control as well, you might still notice some variability. And I think for my clients that come to me before they get off birth control, I just start to ask them to start tuning in, even though they might not be able to notice a lot of information, just that kind of gentle practice can help you kind of gain more awareness. For those that are not on hormonal birth control, the suggestions I made apply even more so. And I really, my favorite kind of period tracking app is Clue. I think it really is a great user experience. I'm a big tech nerd, so I like to make sure like whatever app mm-hmm. I'm using, I'm actually having a good time on it. And I usually will ask that the three things we begin tracking would be your bleeding, your cervical fluid. As I said, it has variability through the month as you're moving through these different phases that I described. And then third, your mood, because your mood is a pretty good indicator of kind of where you are, you know, in your cycle, keeping in mind follicular, more high energy, same thing through ovulation. Then as you move into that luteal phase, there's like this dip. And so that kind of tracking of fluid and tracking of mood, and by fluid, I mean mucus and blood, is a great way to kind of begin. And then, you know, keeping in mind, if you're thinking about getting off hormonal birth control, really, it's important to exert a lot of patience. You know, when you've been on that type of birth control for whether it's 12 years or it's been 3 years, the body takes a little bit of time to get back into kind of normal cycling, because a lot of what these birth controls are doing is kind of cutting off the connection between your brain, namely kind of your pituitary gland, and your reproductive organs, namely your ovaries. And so, you know, basically it's like someone went and kind of cut the cord between those two areas. Mm-hmm. So I like to say like upstairs, downstairs. Then when you take out the hormonal birth control, it's like you're calling in, you know, the power people, and you're like, hey, this line is down. Can you like replug it and reconnect it? And sometimes it takes a while for them to like get the call out. Then they get there, it takes them a while to fix it. And so it takes a little bit of time for that reconnection to happen. So some people get off hormonal birth control and they get their cycle back within 2 to 3 months. For some people, it takes them 6 months, a year to get back to anything very regular. So that would kind of be the best advice, is just that, you know, starting to look at what's happening, starting to record it, get more comfortable with looking inside at your body, And then if you are making that transition, just giving yourself some time. And then in terms of supplements, you know, not knowing enough really about your history, it's hard to kind of give very specific, you know, recommendations. But what I would say, and I feel comfortable with in terms of just kind of a general panacea for just, I need to start taking something, what can I take? I really like Ritual. It's a direct-to-consumer supplement that's been out for about 2 years now. And it was formulated to really take care of the kind of 9 nutrients that most women, most people that have those reproductive parts are deficient in. So, you know, namely folate, methylated folate, anyway, B12, magnesium, iron, you know, essential fatty acids in terms of like our omegas. All of those things kind of create a really nice foundation or kind of undercarriage that you can kind of layer into to help do things like regulate hormones, fight inflammation on a daily basis, which is basically what a lot of, you know, people or women are doing when they do get cramps during their period, is they're kind of acutely managing inflammation, right, through Aleve or Midol. All of those are basically non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. So, you know, if you're taking an anti-inflammatory like omega 3, 6, and 9, or I'm trying to think of another anti-inflammatory that's in that particular formulation, it's kind of escaping me right now. But, you know, the idea is what we want to do is be managing things prophylactically. So getting ahead of it, as opposed to being like, okay, car crash, and now I need a medic. And so, you know, something like Ritual really helps to kind of create that kind of more sustained management of some of those symptoms.
That sounds great. I actually think I got like served a Instagram ad for Ritual like this week. That's so funny.
That makes sense.
How do
sense.
They know?
Yeah. I'll be happy to know that.
Definitely. Erica, I feel like this is like such a rich topic, and it's been really fascinating speaking with you about just this one small section of reproductive empowerment. If people want to find out more about your work with Loom and about reproductive empowerment, where can they go?
So you can find me on Instagram. It's just my name, Erica Chitty Cohen. And I also have a website of the same name, and I'm kind of send out a sporadic but usually kind of personal download about all things kind of reproductive empowerment related. And then there's Loom, which is our community hub here in LA, where we offer period coaching, and we offer that in person, and then we also offer it virtually. So that is where you can find that. And Loom is at This Is Loom on Instagram. And then our website is the same, thisisloom.com.
Yes, LOOM.
Correct.
Erica, yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
During summer, honestly, the last thing I want to do is spend time cooking. I want to be doing other stuff, like, I don't know, shopping, hanging out on the couch, playing with my dog. But when your summer to-do list is all barbecues and outdoor bars, it's actually really hard to eat well. That's why I love Daily Harvest. It's the subscription service that makes healthy eating easy, and it requires basically no effort on my part. Daily Harvest delivers one-step prep, frozen, plant-based meals straight to your door with your choice of smoothies, savory harvest bowls, soups, functional lattes, overnight oats, and more. This stuff is perfectly portioned, and it stays fresh in the freezer until you're ready to eat it. And it literally takes one step to prepare. All you have to do is add water or your favorite milk to the cup and blend it or heat it or soak it. That's easy. It's done. It's yum. My favorite smoothie from Daily Harvest is a chocolate avocado blend, and it tastes exactly like chocolate yogurt, and it's delicious. So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code SELFSERVICE to get 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code SELFSERVICE for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. Okay, so finding the right fragrance is super hard when you are sensitive in the nostril department or you get migraines like me. It took me so long to move on from my one signature scent that I got when I was like 12 years old and kept wearing because I just built up a tolerance for. But now I'm an adult lady, and as an adult lady, I'm so glad that I discovered Fleur. Fleur is a company that puts the feeling back into fragrance. My favorite Fleur scent is Greylock. It's so classy and delicious. I love it because it contains stuff like sea salt, bergamot, birch leaf, silver vetiver, and pine resin. It's like just as refreshing and yum as it sounds. And instead of testing a scent on a strip of paper or being ambushed in a department store, you can get to know each of Fleur's scents with pictures, words, and even music on their website. So if you like what you hear and see, odds are you'll like the scent. Then you actually try them on your skin at your own place. Each Fleur scent is created by world-class perfumers and inspired by real moments in your real life, not some silly celebrity or clothing designer that thinks that you should smell like a baby. And because all that matters is what you like, their scents are gender-free. And the best part, Fleur is completely transparent. They tell you every ingredient in their perfumes and why it's there. So no secrets, no nasty ingredients, and no BS. Go to Fleur.com today and use the promo code SELFSERVICE to get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set. Pick 3 scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's promo code SELFSERVICE at Fleur.com to try 3 Fleur fragrances of your choice at 20% off. PHLUR.com. The aspects in astrology are a big key to understanding the heavens and how their energy affects us. So if you're obsessed with sun signs or planets but don't know much about aspects, our resident astro queen, Jessica, is about to tell you what's what. And she'll give you a glimpse into the energies of the week ahead. Settle in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to your Astrology Corner of Self-Service Podcast. We are looking today at the week of July 22nd through the 28th. So this week, there's so much news for me to give you. One of the things that's happening is Mercury going retrograde. That is happening on July 25th, and it's going retrograde in Leo, and it will stay there until August 19th. I talked about it last week. Re-listen. I'm not going to give you too much on it this week because we have so much going on. On the 22nd, we have this really lovely Venus sextile to Jupiter. This is a great time for flirting or putting yourself out there. This is actually a great time for shopping and finding clothes you like. It's also a great time for spending too much money or drinking too much. So just rein it in. On the 24th, we have a Venus opposition to Neptune. This transit can be kind of complicated. It can make you feel like you found the most magical thing in the world, and it's not necessarily real. It intensifies your romantic feelings, and it intensifies your spiritual feelings, but it does not solidify them. So what you're feeling around this date, you want to let it kind of play out a little bit without jumping to conclusions or making any long-term commitments. The same goes for the next day, because on the 25th, we have a sun square to Uranus, and this tends to shake things up. When this transit occurs, it feels like your nervous system is getting triggered, and it feels like tons of things are happening to you quickly. Those things may be lovely or they may be difficult, but you can't necessarily rely on them to stick. So far in the week, what we're looking at is the need for you to be present and to respond to what's happening without making assumptions about where it's going, because things are really developing and you can't quite know where they're going yet. On the 26th, we have a super annoying sun opposition to Mars. So you may feel really irritable around now and you may have to deal with bullies. Be wise about whether you need to stand your ground or engage with people, because if you start a fight with someone, they are likely to fight back. And if you fight back, they're not likely to back down. So be smart there. And that brings us to the full moon on the 27th and the lunar eclipse that is on this 27th date. So we have a lunar eclipse at 4 degrees of Aquarius, and it will be exact at 12:20 p.m. Pacific time. This is a really important astrological event, and it can be a time of serious reset. You may need to re-listen to last week's Mars retrograde episode, or even go all the way back to episode 10, where I talked about Mars and sex, to better understand Mars. And the reason why I say this is because Mars will be conjunct the moon during the eclipse. This is a time where we may see the end of a sexual dynamic, or a time where you're feeling really frustrated. Anger and sex are Mars themes, so pay attention to them. You may feel like acting out or have to deal with someone else who's acting out. Full moons are always really emo. And because it's an eclipse, just like with the solar eclipse a few weeks back, the effects will last a lot longer than a regular full moon. So we can expect the effects of what comes up around now to last us a good 6 months. So the trick and key for this week is to expect major upheaval. When projects aren't working or relationships aren't working, try not to react in a knee-jerk way, but instead to be interested in what's actually being revealed. What are other people revealing of themselves? And what are you revealing of your true feelings about situations or people? Remember that Mercury is retrograde as well as Mars, and so things may not be quite as they seem. It's wise to allow room for things to develop while still nurturing your feelings and being kind to yourself and the people around you. All right, my friends, best of luck with this full moon lunar eclipse. Take really good care of yourself and the people around you. And if you want to learn more about my work, you can go to my website at lovelagnato.com. You can always find me on social at Jessica Lagnato, and that's at Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
That's another episode done. Time flies when you're having fun. That rhymes. Thank you so much to Jessica and Erica for joining me and sharing their amazing wisdom. And thank you so much for listening. Season one of Self-Service is almost at an end, I'm sorry to say. So that's okay. That just means after next week, we'll take a break before heading back in the fall, inshallah. Sad, huh? But it's okay. Don't worry, because I'm still going to be talking about tarot any chance I get. And I actually mean that a lot. My Instagram is at jericho.mandybur. And there you'll find links to my site. You can even book a reading with me because, yes, I do that. That's a thing that I do. You can also sign up for like my personal future tarot newsletter so we can keep the conversation going in a lot of ways. And I'll make sure I share news about my book and tarot deck that I'm creating because it's a two-in-one when the time comes for that. And you can also follow Girl Boss Radio on Instagram to stay updated on our return and all the other stuff we have going on the network. And of course, you can share the love via the hashtag Self-Service Podcast or by rating and reviewing and sharing this show with your circles and such. So yeah, see you next week. Bye.